The following program has been provided by the Pacifica Radio Archives Preservation and Access Project. For more information, call 1-800-735-0230 or log on to pacificaradioarchives.org.
On Wednesday morning, May 22nd, I went to the Resurrection Lutheran Church in Arlington, Virginia, to have breakfast with a group of teenage boys, aged 17 to 19, who had been staying at the church since Sunday night. As part of the Southern Caravan of the Poor People's Campaign, they had been staying at various places in Northern Virginia while shanties in Resurrection City were being built to house them. Meals for the boys were prepared by members of the congregation and served in a comfortable dining hall with the added nicety of fresh flowers on each table. During the day, they met with their group leader for workshops and nonviolence. They watched television, played checkers, attended to a clean-up detail, went swimming at a local Y, and tried to fill the time until the Wednesday morning march into Resurrection City. On Tuesday night, they went to a dance at a nearby church. Sleeping quarters at Resurrection Lutheran were in the church auditorium, where air mattresses and blankets had been provided. After breakfast, I talked with some of the boys as they waited for transportation to the site where the Southern Caravan would begin its march.
My name is Birmingham, Alabama. I'm 18 years of age. It started on Wednesday the 8th on the caravan. It came through Birmingham, and me and a lot of my friends joined. We was listening to radio the same day we joined, and we was just sitting around the house. So we decided to go to join the caravan, and we found it was very interesting. We had some hard times along the way, sleeping on floors. A lot of times you didn't get, but you had to understand that everybody had their problems, and not getting enough rest at night, because they had a rally just about every night. Every city we stopped in, we had a rally. It wasn't over till about 12 o'clock at night. By the time you got your housing, it was about 12 or 1 o'clock at night. You had to get up about 7 o'clock in the morning, come back to wherever you was last night to get ready to move out the next day.
Are you in school? Are you through with school?
I'm finished school.
What happens after the campaign? What are your plans?
Well, I was thinking about working with SCLC.
Back home or up in Washington?
Back home.
My name is Eldridge Lee. I'm from Birmingham, Alabama. I'm 18 years of age. Well, some of the experience I had on the trip was really I caught a hard time because I wasn't used to sleeping on the floors and you didn't hardly get enough rest. Say, for instance, we go to bed about 2 o'clock and we have to be up about 8 o'clock getting ready to move on to another town. And it was really difficult for me to get used to going to bed this late and getting up early in the morning.
What have the days been like?
Well, on the bus, we really didn't have time to do anything because most of the day we just ride. So.
How long do you think you're going to be staying in Washington?
Well, I'll definitely be to Washington until about the 1st of June because I have to leave the 1st of June.
Where are you going then?
Oh, I have some private business that I have to sell back in Birmingham.
What do you think living out there is going to be like?
Well, if living out there would help, say, for instance, my children and my grandchildren, if living out there would bring them up to where they can get a job regardless of their color, I believe I'd rather stay. I'd like to stay out there. You know? Really would.
My name is Louis Campbell, Charleston, South Carolina. Well, when I first saw the group marching down the street, you know, I thought it was crazy. So I went to a rally that night, and I listened, and I asked questions, and I really wanted to see what it was all about, you know, if it really was necessary. And when I traveled for about 2 days, I said to myself, it's necessary, I'm going to stick with it. I have to take the rest of my life.
My name is Charles Carter. I'm from Birmingham, Alabama, 18 years old. This reverend at a barber shop, he told me about the march. He asked me, did I want to take part? I told him yes. And so when the caravan came to Birmingham, I joined from there.
And how long do you expect to stay?
Indefinite.
My name is Rudolph Jones. I'm from Birmingham, Alabama. I'm 19 years old. I've been with the caravan ever since Wednesday, the 8th of May. I'm a marshal on the caravan. I help the peoples in loading the buses, trying to keep the people straight on the buses. I find it a very nice job in a way it's a difficult job. But I like it. I like helping the peoples. And what I think about the caravan is, so far it's been nice. I have to understand that we don't have the sleeping qualities of the things we need, but we have to go along with this. We know this from the beginning, that it wouldn't be easy. So I would like for the peoples and those on the caravan to understand this. We know that we wouldn't find it easy. Most of the time, the peoples realize these things, but they don't try to understand them.
As a marshal, how many people are you in charge of?
Well, I have about 36 on a bus.
Mm-hmm. Is there one marshal to each busload?
Oh, well, I'm the bus leader. I have four marshals on there, one assistant, helping out on the bus.
And have there just been these boys on the bus? Who else has been on the bus?
Well,
different age groups?
Different age groups. We have older people. We've split up right now here, but we have about 20 older people and the young teenagers I'm here with now. We spread on the bus.
And how long do you expect to stay at the site?
Well, I have to go on the service June the 4th. I'll probably be up there to about the 28th, something like that. Yeah.
And then go back and?
Going back to Birmingham.
My name is Louis Campbell. I'm from Charleston, South Carolina, and I'm 18 years of age. And I'd like to say that I'm glad that I'm joining up on this march. Nobody made me join. And that I'm real happy to be here with all these nice people. I made a lot of new friends.
How did you get involved in the campaign? How did you hear about it?
My preacher told me, told me all about it, how the situation was. So I decided to go see for myself. And the more I saw, the more I disliked, and the more I wanted to go to Washington.
Mm-hmm. How long are you going to be staying in Washington?
Until it's over, I guess.
Are you through with school?
No, ma'am, I have one more year.
So that, but you don't have to be back until September, is that right?
August the 20th.
Is that when the term starts?
No, football practice starts.
Okay. My name is Alphonse Mahone in Macon, Georgia. But I was born in Miami, Florida. Well, I heard about it when I was in Atlanta. And then when it came to Macon, you know, I just went on down to Parkland. Just came on with the cab.
Did you decide to come by yourself?
You know, it was a lot of my boys from Macon came.
Uh-huh.
Friends and things.
Are they here or are they in other groups now?
Other groups.
How is it? Has it been the way you expected it would be?
Well, see, before we started, you know, before we got here in other places, they told us it was going to be rough, so we know what was going to happen before we got here.
What kind of things were going to be rough?
Legal arrangement and people.
And how
you know,
it turned out?
It wasn't the opinion of the people's bar, you know, they're just telling us to be on guard for it.
Well, how have people treated you, you know, all along the way?
Everyone was treating me real nice. I enjoyed the whole trip so far. And that when we get in Washington of any violence erupt and I get hit, I just keep telling myself it's for a good cause. Good cause. And I guess I...
You had no problems.
No problems. Everyone helpful, man, getting in each other way, you know, just trying to be nice.
Only one of the boys had ever participated in a march before, and he too was the only one who had ever had his adherence to principles of nonviolence tested.
The first one that I was in was nonviolent, but the second one I in, it was some violent. You know.
What happened?
The police, the firemen started spraying the water on us, and they let the dogs loose on us, and we had to fight to try to keep the dogs off of us and keep the water from knocking us down.
Why did it start?
Because we didn't have a permit tomorrow. Mm-hmm.
You think anything like this can happen this time?
Well, I really don't know.
What would your action be this time, if or firemen or some kind of force tried to stop people from marching?
Well, I'll really have to use nonviolence tech. I guess I'll lay close to the ground until they finish, and then try to move on or crawl on in any kind of way I can.
But you're committed to nonviolence.
That's right.
At about 10 o'clock, we piled into a station wagon and two cars and were driven by members of the church to the spot near Arlington Cemetery where the Southern Caravan was to assemble. The sun was shining, the weather was warm, it was a beautiful day, and friends who had not seen each other for a couple of days exchanged greetings.
All bus leaders, all bus leaders, bus leaders. Will all bus leaders come to the front of this U-Haul? All bus leaders, come to the front of the U-Haul.
At 11:30, the Southern Caravan, about 450 to 500 people, began to march, holding hands four abreast, slowly through Arlington Cemetery. Marshals walking along every few feet on either side kept the group together. This group had marched many times before, and the marshals had little to do in the way of maintaining order. The only sound was that of the press running along, reporting positions to each other on their walkie-talkies. They seemed harried and rushed in contrast to the calm of the marchers. At the grave of President Kennedy, the group paused while a leader, whom I could not see, delivered a prayer. What I could see was the energetic press, with tripods, shoulder braces, cameras, and light meters, struggling up a fairly steep hill and fighting to maintain their balance as they took their pictures. It looked like hard work. Leaving the cemetery, the marchers crossed Memorial Bridge, heading for Resurrection City. There, at the side of the City Hall, which is still under construction, Reverend James Bevel welcomed the group. The low-flying planes, you will hear, are approaching and departing nearby National Airport and are a constant factor in life at Resurrection City.
Resurrection. Junction City.
Yes.
We do not have paved streets.
No, no.
And your feet may get muddy.
All right.
And when your feet get muddy, if you think about going back home, if you can only remember why we're here, you won't go back home.
Yeah. Okay.
Young people over in Vietnam getting run out of my old by the Viet Cong.
Don't say that, Bevels.
Killing the Vietnamese people. There are a lot of folks doing that. There are a lot of folks making automobiles when the air's already polluted and the streets are already crowded.
Yeah.
There are a lot of folks doing that. There are a lot of folks sitting around home watching television, watching Batman and Superman, drinking bubblegum, eating bubblegum, and chewing beer. There's a lot of folks doing that.
Yeah.
We have come from across this country to tell the American people that the economic order has got to be changed.
Yeah.
Well, in this country, you see, there are beautiful folks sitting around eating up all the folks and everybody.
Yeah.
And we came here to get the record straight.
Go ahead, boy.
We can no longer afford to be poverty-stricken in a land of affluence. We can't afford that. We can no longer afford to walk around in a country with nothing in our heads. Because someone stole the money for education and spent it on missiles. We can to be sitting around fighting poor white folks who are also going to join the poor people's campaign. But we must recognize the real enemy. Those who exploit and put brothers against brothers in order to steal the resources from everybody. We are here to say to Congress, if it's going to be a Congress fired by the people, it must protect the interest of all American people.
Yeah.
Now in a few minutes, the Housing Committee will come and they will give us a specific amount. In a few minutes, our leaders will come and give us a welcome and give us the philosophy and understanding of why we're here.
Well,
we have workshops going. We have going in Resurrection City. And we want everybody who has just arrived to absolutely be participants in Resurrection City. You see, this is not a luxury ship. This is a warship. And on a warship, everybody has a battle station. Everybody is a member of a crew on a warship. But on a luxury liner, only about 4 or 5% of the folks work. The rest of the folks are just drinking and having fun. But this is not that kind of ship. This is the old ship of Zion, you know. And we are going someplace. And Congress over there bluffing and woofing, but we told them we know there is no danger anymore.
Yeah.
We know that already. Because the old ship of Zion has landed many thousand.
Yes,
now we know we're going through.
Go ahead, Warner.
And you know, a lot of us a few days ago heard a rumor.
You better not preach.
A lot of us got a rumor that Dr. King was dead.
Yeah.
That was the rumor. I was down in Memphis. And I just want to let you know that it's true. Because on April 4th, I was down and the law came by.
Yeah.
Dr. King and the law started walking and talking on the balcony of the Lorraine Motel.
Yes.
About 6 o'clock in the evening, both of them walked away.
Don't you say that, I'm going to wake them up.
So don't let nobody start that rumor. But while Dr. King walked away for a brief moment, he dropped his mantle on his close friend and associate. A man who has been proven to have integrity.
My law.
A man who has been proven to have courage.
Yes.
A man who has proven that he loved his people.
Yes.
A man who does not have to go around and come in by night, but a man who has been in threatened battle every year since 1955.
My law.
A man who has had his house bombed, his church bombed, his life threatened, but a man who has never been caught off the case.
My law.
A man who has been pleading for justice, fighting for justice, leading for justice. And that's what I like about the Lord. He can take one prophet, but he always have another prophet to replace that prophet he takes. So at this point, I would like to introduce to you Dr. Ralph David Abernathy, the mayor of Resurrection City and the leader of the Poor People's Campaign. Ralph David Abernathy.
Who's our leader? Abernathy! Hey, hey!
Thank you very kindly.
Reverend, Reverend Bevel, and to my brothers and sisters. As the mayor of this city, Resurrection City, I want to extend a very warm and hearty welcome to each of you from the South. We had a town meeting the other night, and I was elected the mayor of the city. You have come in. I want to know, are there any objections? Is it all right for me to be the mayor?
Yes!
Say aye.
Aye!
I want to welcome you to this city because this is your city. And this is our city, Resurrection City. USA, Resurrection City, USA. Now there are one or two things I want to do today in this welcome. Number one, I want to thank the people from Virginia who have kept, who have housed, and who have fed my people from the South. Black, white, brown, and yellow. Poor people for the last several days, and who have brought them today into our city. Now, I can talk to you because we speak the same language. And we come up out of the same trials and tribulations. You are from Mississippi. And I launched this march over in Mississippi. You remember that we had March, Eastland, and Stennis. And for the first time in history, I led Eastland and I led Stennis.
Yeah.
These were two old mules that were named Eastland and Stennis down in Mississippi. You are from Alabama. And I am from Alabama. And we know about the problems. You and I know about the problems of Alabama. You are from Georgia. And you and I know about Georgia. You are from North Carolina and South Carolina, and we know about these states. And you are from Virginia, and we know that even though people live in Virginia, the state of aristocracy,
we're sick and tired of living on $38 as public welfare down in Mississippi. We're sick and tired of living on $65. Down in Alabama. Yeah. While so many of the welfare white people in this country go to Europe once and twice a month.
Talk to
while they go over there four and five times a year. Yeah. Take a vacation down in the Bahamas. And then move on down to Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
And yet we don't have the necessities of life. Yeah. We have come to Washington for jobs, and we have decided that we are going to stay here until we get those jobs. Now, you know I'm a record man, and you know they've tried to make me over again. But I just have to be what I am. And I just have to tell it just like it is. Now, we had a hard time getting up here. We struggled to get buses to get up here, but we're not going to have a hard time getting back. We're going to stay here until the Congress sends us back. It's all right with us. As Ms. Brooks from Mississippi said, it's all right. We can stay here until we die. We're not in any hurry. And even when we die, they can bury us here on this land. Now, you have come in today, and we're expecting another big group tomorrow.
We went over on Capitol Hill yesterday, and I may as well get ready for larger numbers every day, because we will be back. Now, this little land here is not enough. You are standing on King Martin Luther King Plaza right now. You marched in on Abernathy Boulevard. And we have all of these streets that are named around here. Well, we want to make it clear that this is not enough land. And we don't need any permit from anybody. We have our permit already. We asked the Indians about it, and they told us that we could use the land. And this land belongs to my father. And there's plenty of land. And we're going to stretch out all the way up to the Washington Monument if it becomes necessary. Because this is our land. Now, this is City Hall here. And we want you to bring all your problems here to City Hall. We have a city manager who takes care of the executive side of our city, the Reverend Jesse Jackson of Chicago, Illinois. This was the first appointment that I made after I was elected the mayor of the city. And then we have our dining hall down here. The food is wonderful. We get three meals a day. We get a fine cereal. I ate there this morning, and I know you get a wonderful meal. Had cornflakes and Rice Krispies and Cheerios and bran flakes. We had homogenized or pasteurized milk. And if you wanted cream, you could have that also. Then we had something we haven't been having. White folk have been having. Coffee cakes. Go along with it. And we had coffee. Go along with the cakes. Had a wonderful meal. And then we're going to have a wonderful, we've had a wonderful luncheon. And we're going to have a fine dinner. It was one thing wrong with the meal. I ate dinner there yesterday, and I didn't like it, and I told them to get it ready, because you all were on the way. We had plenty of beans, but they didn't have any fat back, nor ham. I told them, the food is prepared over the Howard University, and I told them to get some ham hocks, and get some fat back, and whatnot to put in these beans in order to season them properly, because the soul sisters and brothers would be here on tomorrow. I tell you what else we have in store. I'm working on it already. While we're here, surely we're going to have pork chops and neck bones and back bones and all brisket and all of that fine food that we want and that we love to eat. But I feel that we ought to have at least one day some of the food that they eat over at the White House. So I have already put the order in. We want a baked potato with sour cream, with onion chives, and crisp bacon. In that bacon table. And then we want a salad with Roquefort dressing. And vinegar and oil with garlic. And we want hot rolls and soft rolls. And then we want some filet mignon. And we want one for everybody here. And we're going to have it just like they have it over at the White House. And they don't want us to eat it over here. We have come here for business, and we want to welcome you to this city. This will be your home. Keep your shanty clean, and we and we'll be home. And we don't know how long you're going to stay here. Let us remember that we're going to remain nonviolent.
That's right.
But we are going to press aggressively and militantly toward our goal, which is jobs and to put an end to poverty and underemployment in this country. Now, we don't have to fight among ourselves. We're going to fight the common enemy, which is not here in the camp, but he's over there only here in the Congress of the United States.
Yeah.
So let us stick together and let us stand together. The Mexican Americans will soon be in here. American Indians will soon be here. The Puerto Ricans will soon be here. Many of the poor whites are already here. And let us join arms in arms together, because the same forces that have kept the black man down all these years have kept the poor whites, the American Indians, the Puerto Ricans, and the Mexican Americans down also. And we have decided that we are not going to let them ride our backs any longer, because we're going to stand up erect with our shoulders back and our heads high. May God bless you, my Southern brothers. And don't worry, Lyndon Johnson saw you coming this morning. His aides informed him that Eastern promised to keep us satisfied in the South, but we are not satisfied. Well, I can hear him saying, they're coming from the east, they're coming from the west, they're coming from the north, and they're coming from the south. And they're coming in numbers that no man can number. So let us stand together and remember we've got to plague Congress with plague after plague. But may we stand forever firmly until we can stop singing, "We Shall Overcome," and start singing that we have overcome. Thank you. Now let me introduce to you our city manager, who will give us directions and tell you about the living quarters and everything. We all know and we all love Reverend Jesse Jackson. He is from Chicago, Illinois. Well, he's directly. He's from South Carolina. You came to his hometown, Greenville, South Carolina, in Rupia. He made his way over to Chicago, and he's been studying at Chicago Theological Seminary until he came to Selma, Alabama. And Jesse, you remember that night you came out there and helped me as I was holding that vision. And you said that I can learn more theology here in Selma on the streets with you, Ralph Abernathy, as my teacher, than I can in the walls of a theological seminary in Chicago. And he gave up the seminary in Chicago. And he's been leading our economic program known as Operation Breadbasket, and has won many jobs for our people and for poor people all over this country. And he is our city manager. He is responsible for your bed. He's responsible for your food. He's responsible for the newspaper that we're gonna get out right here in our city. All of your problems, if you can't find me, then find Jesse Jackson. He will take care of it. Give him a big hand. I'm a wonderful city manager.
Soul power!
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 Now, for some of y'all who just got here, you need to understand what the phrase means to us. My grandmama been black down in Greenville about 65 years. Never did have a chance to use her black power. She's been politically disenfranchised, been economically cut off from a decent salary all of her life. She was always able to call back upon the inner resources of her soul and get strength that always confound. And everybody here who has lived through the adversities of Southern life got soul power. And when things get a little rough here, you might have to close your physical eye because it might get a little dusty around here. But if you can close your eyes and get on your knees and let your mind's eye search your soul, that might be a power down there that can help you sustain yourself. When we go and confront Congress, we don't have military power, but we got soul power.
Yeah.
We start talking about how we survive. We've never had economic power, but we got soul power.
All right, well, come.
We've just been voting in Alabama 2 years for political power, but we've always had soul power.
Yeah.
And the odds tell us that we can't make it through now, but our soul power is not going to let us give up. Can I get a witness?
Yeah.
Soul power. Now, we go through a little exercise here every day in our city. What all of you to get accustomed to. The first step in nonviolence is self-purification. We will not ask Congress to do anything for us that we will not do for ourselves. We aren't going to ask Congress to stop hating until we free ourselves of hate. We're not going to ask Congress to stop being racist until we ourselves stop being racist.
Yeah.
In other words, we're going to show them by example how a man ought to be. The world will become flesh and we'll stop talking love and start living.
Yeah.
Stop talking brotherhood and be a brother.
Yeah.
Stop talking friendship and be a friend.
Yeah.
In other words, this is going to be a new city.
Yeah.
Abraham said a few years ago when he left, he didn't have no roadmap, you know. He was just like us.
Yeah.
And went toward a city whose foundations were not laid by slaves.
Yeah.
But a foundation that was laid by the Lord. And the ruler and maker was God. And that's what's going to rule this city. Now, Lyndon Johnson ain't going to make no basic decisions in the resurrection city.
No.
Now, all that we're saying is that the dreamer may be dead, but the dream is still alive.
Yeah.
And anybody who's here today ought to be living in the resurrection and in the wake of Dr. King's life. That's what we're here about now. That's what we're all about here. This is a resurrection city. A new life city. We're going through a chant now that I want you to forget. Every morning when we have our worship service, we want you to think about this. I am somebody. God's child.
God's child.
I may not have a job. But I am somebody.
I may be black.
But I am somebody.
I may not have an education.
But I am somebody.
You may not respect me.
But I am somebody.
I may be a Puerto Rican.
But I am somebody.
I may be an Indian.
And my land was stolen.
But I am somebody.
Maybe a Spanish American.
But I am somebody.
God is my father.
Every man.
Is my brother.
I cannot allow.
Hatred.
Malice.
Racism.
Militarism.
Are none of the things. Separate men from God.
Keep me from knowing.
Every man.
Is my brother.
That's what we live by in Resurrection City.
Yeah.
When you meet people in the morning, all the women are high sisters.
Yeah.
All the men are high brothers.
Yeah.
You're defined here by the content of your character and not by your background and the color of your skin. I want to say this to the brothers and the sisters that are here at the camp. Here's a situation I want to make very clear to you. We're not going to compromise on. No, we're going to tolerate. And no one group of guys or their personal habits should be more important than the purpose for which we've come here. We're not going to tolerate any drinking of any liquor in the Resurrection City.
Amen.
Just want to make that very, very clear. We're not going to tolerate too much cursing around our ladies in Resurrection City.
Amen.
Any abuse in Resurrection City from each other. This is the city of hope. Now, you might come here hating, but you ought to leave here loving. You might come here confused, but you ought to leave with direction.
want y'all to get the rules straight. Well, I'm not going much faster than you came up. Next thing is that when we go over to Capitol Hill, we're going over there nonviolent. And we're not going to compromise. Most of you don't believe in the philosophy that Dr. King really made sense out of, but I still believe it. And we're going to develop programs every day just to prove that you got two methods of solving problems in the world.
Yes.
White folks tried to solve problems by enslaving black people. They tried to solve the problem through violence by exterminating the Indians.
Yeah.
They tried to destroy the personality of the Spanish American.
Yeah.
They got us starving.
Yeah.
Dr. King has another way of solving problems quite different from Johnson.
Yeah.
Dr. King is my leader, not Johnson. And I'm going to use his philosophy.
Yeah. All right.
Say amen.
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 As the members of the Southern Caravan left the City Hall for lunch, two congressmen posed for cameramen. When the regular press corps dispersed, a resident of Resurrection City asked them for a picture. "Of course, young man, glad to," said the older congressman in a honeyed, anything-for-the-constituents voice. "Smile, congressman," said the photographer. "Who is this picture for?" the congressman asked, laughing softly and straightening his already straight tie. "A big smile, congressman. This is for the CIA. "Oh, the CIA. The congressman laughed a little louder and straightened his already straight smile. This is Ellen Cohn, WBAI, Resurrection City.